Hebrews chapter 13, starting at verse number 1. The Hebrew writer writes, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we with confidence, say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?' Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate, to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." The Sunday after Christmas is always an interesting Sunday. The themes or topics on which to preach from seem limitless. It's an overwhelming list. What do you preach about? No more preparation sermons. We spent the past 4 weeks preparing and appealing to one another about waiting on the Lord's return. And last week, we were blessed again by our young people as they led us through their presentation, focusing on the Christmas story through drama, singing, readings, and testimony. You know, church, for me, it's been a powerful several weeks. For me, it's been an interesting year. For me, I continue to be immersed in a season of God's possibilities in spite of our limits, our doubts, our struggles, and our issues. And all this on the heels of yet another year passed. There seems to be a collective observation that time has been swift lately. It seems like just yesterday, we were talking about another year passing, and here we are this morning talking about another year passing. We were just talking about 2014, preparing for 2015, and now here we are talking about 2015, preparing for 2016. And so typically, this is the time where I simply reflect briefly on the past year and the Reynoldsburg story. Every year we are reminded of the circle of life. We celebrate life both in new births physically and spiritually, and in the transitioning of those who have gone to be with the Lord. We share joyously with those who welcomed new additions to their families, and in doing so, we pledge to be a church family where these new babies can be raised in faith. But we are also cognizant of those who have lost family members. It was at the beginning of this year that we lost our beloved sister, Gloria Hardy, who had been a fixture in this church for so many years. She had been an impactful individual in so many lives for so many years. And Gloria's passing came on the tail end of several that we had lost toward the end of 2014. And as a church family, we bonded together in mourning together these losses. Church loss isn't easy, but it becomes a tad bit palatable when we come together and minister to one another during seasons of loss. I continue to simply marvel in the way this church serves one another, particularly during times of grief and mourning. Church, let's continue the tenacious undertaking of caring for one another in death and sickness. Let's continue to celebrate with one another and grieve with one another. Let's continue the practice of intercessory prayer on one another's behalf. Transitions and transformations. This has been a year of transitions and transformations. Church, just look around. Last year at this time, we were sitting in blue church pews. I think that was the color blue. We were sitting in blue church pews with light salmon colored walls and a carpet that looked like Joseph's Technicolor coat. In May, we began a rigorous building renovation that had its set of challenges and issues. Yeah, for a while, we were at each other's throats. But common sense and the way of the Lord prevailed. We now sit in a newly renovated space that is the result of brothers and sisters dedicating so much time and money and energy to complete tasks. What a wonderful time when we work together. We are still in the process of renovating, but we should pray, we should pause and thank God and thank one another for the hard work that has gone into this effort. And we should note this. This renovation is not just about making the building pretty. This renovation is about creating a space for the purpose of engaging God, engaging one another, and engaging our community. Church, do not lose sight of that. If all this renovation was about paint and carpet, if that's all this renovation was about, then we have lost sight of what is important. This effort is part of an ongoing effort to be a church for the community. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. I must at this time, as I do every year and periodically throughout the year, praise God for this body's generosity. Continually, this church gives of their time and resources over and beyond maybe what you're able. This enables the church to minister and serve one another and the community. Your generosity has been a constant reminder that caring and compassion are our key components of the character of this church through our regular collections and offering. And special collections. You have given over and beyond. Your support is greatly appreciated. I want to thank you on behalf of my family. And again, I don't think I'm stepping out of line if I say I'm speaking for Justin and for Joy. I want to thank you for your support of us as we both have endeavored to pursue a graduate education. At this time last year, we had both completed, Justin and I had both completed one semester, and now we're going into the second semester of our second years. There is no way that we could have completed any of this without the passionate support of this body. You have afforded us time and leniency to complete schoolwork and attend classes. We thank you so much for your support. We thank you so much for your financial support in paying our salaries and taking care of our families. Please know that our pursuits in education is not about making more money or just becoming smarter. In fact, we're spending a lot of money to go back to school. We both believe that going to school and pursuing these degrees will help us to become better resources for this body. Transitions and transformations. In June, I preached a series of sermons that focused on the church re-engaging with the movement that began on the day of Pentecost. And this is God's movement, and we have been invited by God to participate in this movement. And one of the themes that was explored during that time was the bigness of God. Remember Paul, who wrote in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, he wrote this prayer: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Church, we have been called to go big and do big things and dream big things and create big spaces for big groups of people to serve in big ways. And we do this not of our own doing. We do this in the power of God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Church, it was that God who enabled this church to partner with the church across the street to put on a VBS that reached over 350 kids. That was a big undertaking, and there was some concern about that. You see, because we're a Church of Christ, and that's a Methodist church, and can the two mix? And I can tell you this, that we're still a Church of Christ, and they're still a Methodist church. But in addition to those facts, 350, nearly 400 kids have been impacted by Jesus Christ because we decided to do something together. Church, it was that God who has continued to enable us to minister to the poor through monthly meals and grocery giveaways and all the challenges that comes with that, and trying to get volunteers and trying to have enough food each month. Well, it seems to work every month where we come together and we share a meal with friends who are depending on us to be there for them at the end of the month, where there's more month at the end of the money. Anyone ever been there? When you got more month at the end of the money, and there's some folks that come and they eat with us. And yeah, sometimes it gets frustrating because it would be much better if we had more people, but we believe in a God of immeasurable possibilities. We believe in a God who can do big things even with our challenges. It is that God who has afforded us the opportunity to partner with Slate Ridge Elementary School that will allow us to serve students and staffs. And during the upcoming year, I'm asking you to get on your knees and pray about how God can use us in a powerful way to impact an elementary school, not just students, but teachers and principals and guidance counselors. It is that God who continues to stretch our understanding of Scripture and church that will allow us to seek better ways to serve one another. It is that God that continues to work through Justin and Joy Kuhn as they minister to our youth and training leaders. It is that God that is leading men and women to his throne for transformation. Oh, it's been such a blessing to watch throughout the year men and women share how God is just doing some powerful things in their lives and changing their perspectives and changing their lives. It is that God who sent his one and only Son to die for us, who we now declare to be Lord and Christ of the church and our lives. We start with that confession before we do anything, before a program, before a sermon, before a song. We've got to start with the confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is that God that continues to lead brothers and sisters to minister to brothers and sisters who are dealing with death and cancer and financial difficulty and drug and alcohol addiction and sexual addictions. My God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And he will continue to do those things. That's the God we worship, and that's the God we serve. You see, church, in spite of our doubts, our issues, our sin, our ignorance, our rebellion, our stubbornness, God continues to do powerful things. But as we close, there is this issue of the passage I read from Hebrews earlier. It's a powerful passage. It's the concluding remarks of what many believe to be an early Christian sermon. Yes, the book of Hebrews is to believe to be one of the earliest Christian sermons. I know it's a long sermon, but it's a sermon indeed. And what I read were the concluding remarks. The Hebrew author has encouraged the followers throughout that sermon to follow Jesus Christ, the great high priest. They have been encouraged to receive cleansing from their sins. They were encouraged to live a life of faith modeled after the great characters in the past, like Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Rahab. They were encouraged to walk by faith and not by sight. This is a portion of that sermon from chapter 10, verse number 36. He says, you need to persevere so that what you have done, when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are now saved. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. In the text I read earlier, the preacher gives final exhortations that include loving one another, showing hospitality, staying sexually pure, honoring your leaders, and warnings against being inundated with legalism. But the highlight of the concluding remarks are found in verses 11 through 14, where the preacher says, the high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him. Where, church? Outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Let us go to him, not inside the camp, not inside the church building, not inside where it's comfortable, not inside where it's safe, not inside where you're going to stay clean and you're going to stay dry. Not inside where your reputation isn't on the line, but outside. Let's go to him outside, outside of the building, outside of our comfort zones, outside where it gets dirty. Here it is, church. The call that has been given to us from Jesus, from the writers of the letters, Paul, Peter, all these guys, has not been a call for us to shelter in here, circle up and shelter in, and just look at each other and just tell each other how beautiful we are. Listen, you are all beautiful people, and we can do that from time to time. But that's not our call. Our call is to go outside. It's to go outside and to meet people that are unlovable. Maybe meet people who have been deemed unreachable. To meet people in spaces and places that you might not think God activity takes place. But according to the Hebrew writer, that's exactly where God's incidence takes place. That's exactly where God's activity takes place. Let's go to Jesus outside the camp. He's not inside the camp warming himself by the fire. He's outside the camp where the mess is, where the dirtiness is, where the sin is. Church, we've been making this repeated call over and over and over again that we need to engage this community, not just as a fad, but as our true calling from God through Jesus Christ himself. He's the high priest. If he's the high priest, we follow the high priest. We follow his model. We follow his steps. We walk in his steps. If we're the hands and feet of Jesus, we walk and touch where Jesus walked and where he touched outside the camp. Which brings me to these seats we have in here that are reserved. That's been driving some of y'all crazy. What's this? What's these reserve seats for? What's that about? What's these reserves? Who put these reserve signs up? Who used white masking tape and blue masking tape? I know it's driving y'all crazy. You know, if you're growing up in church, you know, we all have our spots, don't we? We all have our spots. When I'm preaching, I know khaki's gonna be right there. We all have our spots, and we all have our spots because, you know what, it's just comfortable for us. And sometimes when we move around, we can do it and we can stand it, but it gets a little uncomfortable. Church, we gotta start rethinking some things. We got to start understanding that God is not calling us to be comfortable. He's calling us to go outside. I've reserved these seats because I believe that we've got to start thinking differently about this space and this auditorium and why we're here. You see, we're not here to go to our place of comfort. We're here perhaps as a way of leading some folks from the outside to this place. Maybe it's an idea of bringing them there and leading them here so that they can have a transition and have a transformation. You see, church, these seats are reserved. I wrote on the back of these reserve things here. This seat right here in front of Mark and Chrissy Jordan, this seat right here is reserved for the person God is preparing us to serve in order to lead them in a direction to be transformed by God's Holy Spirit. This seat is reserved for that same person. You see, these seats, I'm gonna walk in here, I'm gonna take off the tape, but I know that's what some of y'all wanted to do. Y'all wanna take off the tape. I'm gonna do it because it's part of the sermon. This seat is reserved for that single mom who just needs a family to help her understand why the baby's daddy left and don't want anything to do with their children. And this seat is reserved for the person who just can't seem to knock that drug addiction or that alcohol addiction or that sexual addiction. And this church, or this seat is just reserved for the person who's been church shopping and church shopping and they just can't find a place because they can't connect with folks. And this seat is reserved for the widower who lost their wife for 50 years and they need someone for care. And this seat is it reserved for the American family, you know, a husband and wife with 2.5 kids and a dog, and this is for a family who's looking for a church to belong to, and this seat over here is reserved for the young man who's just trying to make a living and make a life. He's 25 years old and he's just trying to establish himself in the world, and he's out on his own and he just needs a place to be, and this seat is reserved for the married couple that's just looking for a church to belong to. These seats is reserved for some college students that want a place to find home. Church, we got to change our attitudes, we got to change our mindsets, and we got to go outside. I want to invite you this year, 2016, to pray. I think I put about 32 reserve seats there. I want us to pray for God not to bring us 32 people, but for God to lead us to 32 people who need to be part of this church family in order to be put in a position to be transformed. But it's not going to happen unless we go outside the camp. Does that make sense, church? Do I got something on my face? Am I weird here? We need to go outside the camp. For 2016, when we're down at the end in December, and it's the last Sunday of December, and I'm giving my wrap-up sermon of the year, I want to stand up and I want to say, I want y'all to see how God led us to 32 individuals that are now in a position of being transformed by God's Holy Spirit. It's time for us to go outside. I know it's raining outside. Wear a raincoat. It's time for us to go outside. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe it's your wife. Maybe it's your kid. It's time for us to go outside. Does that make sense, church? Let's pray. God, we just say thank you for allowing us to see the days and weeks and minutes and hours that have transpired during this past year. And God, we look forward with eager anticipation what you're going to do over the next year. And Father, we continue to believe in you who are, you're bigger than our imagination. You can do things bigger than we can dream. And Father, we just want to lean into what you are doing. And Father, we want to follow your lead outside the camp. And God, we're praying that you would lead us to the men and women and children, and to the couples and to the families who desperately need a touch from you for transition and for transformation. Father, I thank you personally for how you have transformed my life just over the past several months. God, how you have just spoken things into my life through situations, through other people, through the word. God, I thank you. It's been amazing to watch you work, to listen to you, to feel you. God, I pray that experience for everyone in here, that everyone in here would have an open mind, an open heart, open ears, open eyes, so that they could see you, hear you, feel you, experience you. And God, we're thankful that you have been doing that in the lives of so many people sitting here right now. God, I'm praying that we are motivated by that, that we are fueled by our experience with you, that it would just launch us and lead us into places and areas that we've never been before. I know it's frightening. I know it's scary. But as the Hebrew writer reminds us, we have very little to fear because you are in our midst, and we walk by faith and not by sight. God, thank you for how you have shown us how to love. Father, forgive us for not always loving the way we should love. Forgive us for not keeping our minds and hearts pure. Forgive us when we've become lackadaisical in our worship to you, in our work for you. God, renew in us right now a powerful, steadfast spirit that will sustain us and drive us, fuel us, and lead us. God, thank you for the way that you have allowed us to partner with so many people in our community to offer so many transformative opportunities. God, it is our commitment to go outside where Jesus is, bearing the shame and disgrace. We go to him outside the camp. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you for what we have done this year. There's more for us to do, church. And I pray that we would join hands and join hearts and do what God has called us to do. Is that all right? As we sing this next song, we're going to sing a celebratory song, Shout Hallelujah. If there's anything that the church can do for you, pray with you, share with you. I know that our brother Greg this Thursday is going in for a very, very important surgery. And we are praying for you, brother. We're going to be on our knees for you, brother. But if you want to come and share some more about that, we want to invite you to do that. But if there's something that's on your heart that you want to share with the church, why don't you come as we stand and we sing this song.